Sorry, I'll use the chat that's in the computer program here. Oh, except it kicks me out that way. Okay, so welcome. This is our second call for our second learning event already. Pretty amazing we've got to in a very short time. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Little Sam and Carmax First Nation. So I'm a couple of hundred kilometers north of Whitehorse at the moment. If you happen to have the presentation slides open, I probably won't share mine on the screen just because my internet's a little bit more limited. So I will pop the link in the chat in case you need to find fairly quickly. And I just have, if I'm looking down, it's just because I actually write out how we're going to work through the conference call. So it was interesting last week. I really enjoyed reading your different posts, and I don't know if you've read each other's or not, but you used some great words to describe leadership qualities. And a lot of you also, people that were fairly close to you or that you knew very well as a leader in your life, which, you know, sometimes we think of leaders as these big political figures that we don't know, but really the true leaders are the people who we have good relationships with and who mean something to us. And I think that that's really relevant for recreation, because in recreation, we have an opportunity to create those strong, positive relationships with people, whether it's staff working for you or youth in your community or, you know, an elder or something like that. So it's interesting to see how we actually can all be leaders in many people's lives, I think. So this week what we're going to do is we're going to explore a little bit some of the competencies for leading in recreation. And when I use the word competency, what I think of is I think of my attitudes, like, do I believe strongly in recreation? Do I believe in the benefits of recreation? Do I believe in people and their ability to do things? So, you know, what are my attitudes around things? And those attitudes, in turn, can influence how we behave. But also, a competency also combines knowledge and skill. So what do I know and what am I able to do? And what does that look like? So we're going to look at some of the competencies that we've identified over the years that are very, very helpful for leading recreation. So an understanding of these competencies will help you with your own personal career plans and growth plans, but I find it is also really helpful for you to understand for if you're working with volunteers or junior staff or anything like that, because having a sort of a framework or a matrix for what those competencies are, you can use them to help. Like if you have staff working with you and you're like, you know, I'd like them to improve on doing such and such, you can go back to the competency model and you can look at, well, I want them to improve this, so what are the competencies or what are the areas of training or what are the things I need them to do? And then it gives you a bit of a framework to help build up your staff, your volunteers, and yourself as well. So that's kind of the cool thing with competencies. Igor's in NWT, and here in the Yukon, follow, like our public school system follows BC curriculum, and BC curriculum is competency-based. So it also is helpful because then you and your roles might understand the way kids are learning in schools too. So we'll do some quick introductions, which we've kind of already done. We'll look at some of the week's content and activities and then, again, have some time to share. So I think we kind of went around already and chatted about what's stuff in our community today. Brett, you were out and about somewhere without internet. Were you out on the land somewhere?
Sorry, I was not. I was actually visiting my family in Nova Scotia, but for some reason I could not get access to, well, my work email for the one, which kind of ended up being a little bit of an issue, but I got it figured out. But yeah, it was good. I just went back and visited some family for the week, so it was nice. It was, I think, 22 degrees or so there, and then I came back to minus two, so a little bit of a change.
Wow. Well, welcome back. Thanks. And Igor, anything new for you over the last week since we, I know you and I chatted yesterday, but for Olivier or Breton?
I think everything is old. We have now Thanksgiving approaching and some activities around that. And then we will start preparing for the Halloween, and it will be a big event. We'll see. Thank you.
Okay, well, you have to keep us posted on your Halloween plans. And Olivier, how about you? Anything new over the last week?
No, not really. Just being busy trying to
learn more. And you're probably going to be busy going up.
Yeah, Halloween coming. I have to. We have a big trailer that I have to open and check what we have and see if we're going to buy some stuff from the store. But so I'm going to be busy.
Yeah, and then after Halloween, it's Christmas. So it's a busy time.
Yeah, my big event. That Christmas and Forex is the biggest event that I have.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to hearing how they go from you. So thanks for joining today. So I should take a couple of minutes to explore the content if you have it available on slides 13 and 14. Do you guys all have that available? Yep. Okay. So I'm just going to change the size on my thing here. Okay. I usually run two screens, and I've got one little screen. So if I'm a little slow navigating around, that's why. So as you see, slide 13, it starts off by recreation leadership is the priority, and you can see that. That connects to goal number 5 of the framework for Recreating Canada. And it's a priority for a number of reasons. And nationally, our field of recreation, believe it or not, engages many, many volunteers and provides a lot of jobs for young people. I think that they estimate that, 10% of people who have careers start off in recreation. It's pretty amazing if you think about it, right? It provides some really great skills, some leadership skills, some ability to work with people and communities and facilities. So it is really important. And across the North, I think that we need to find ways to sort of re-engage our community volunteers. Some communities have strong volunteerism, like we've heard from April in Uluhoktuk, and it sounds like her community's got great volunteers. But I know of a lot of communities where it's tough to get volunteers these days. And we also need to find ways. I think the youth are an untapped resource for accessing volunteers and recreation. So things like in Nunavut, the Youth Ambassador Program, and that's offered in NWT as well, are great ways to engage youth to be future leaders perhaps, but at this point, even to start out volunteering in their communities. I just wanted to share a little bit of history about perhaps why we're in a bit of a crunch as far as volunteers. So around, like, recreation more than 100 years ago began as kind of a grassroots or community movement. And then around the 1970s, we kind of shifted how recreation is levered. So governments, because they had money in the 1970s, became more providers of recreation, typically at the municipal or community level. And during that time, there was lots of money to build facilities. So a lot of recreation facilities were built in the 70s, which is why many of them are falling down now, 50 years later, why we're having problems with our facilities. So this shift sort of prompted and continued. So recreation delivery, because costs around facilities increased, we all know how much of a increase things cost, like hydro and renovations and staffing and all the O&M around facilities. So typically governments around probably the late 80s, early 90s started moving towards more of what they call a provider or business model, where some of them actually had to work on a cost recovery basis. And so that's when we started seeing things to, like, higher fees to use facilities. And then about 10 years ago or so, we began to realize that recreation is not really sustainable. We can't just have people who can afford to pay in our programs, because that's not really the purpose of recreation. So if we expect someone else to provide it, it's going to cost money. We need people, we need facilities, we need equipment. And, you know, our capacity, especially after the pandemic, has been really strapped for volunteers and people. So what we need to do is we need to raise a new generation. We need to really reinstill, I guess, in young people and adults, the fact that volunteering and making recreation happen is a good thing to do. And it's not just somebody who's going to be doing it for them, but that they need to take that initiative themselves. So I think if we can keep that in the back of our mind, it's not an easy thing to do. I don't know what the answer is. We do talk about it in some of our other learning events. You know, how do we get people more responsible for not only participating in recreation, but sharing the responsibility of delivering recreation? So I don't know if any of you have any answers or thoughts on that one. Given that we just have three of you on the call, I thought maybe I'll pause here and ask you for your reflection. And Brett, I see you nodding your head, so, and you're at the top of my screen, so let's start with you.
Sorry, could you just, you cut out a little bit there for me at the end. Could you just kind of re-ask the question once again?
Yeah, and I don't have it written down, so my apologies. But just, you know, what's your take on where we need to go to make recreation more sustainable? Like, how do we get any ideas around how we get people more responsible for recreation so we're not just always feeling like we're doing it for people and they're participating, but that they're actually part of making it happen?
Yeah, I think that can definitely be a bit of a difficult one, but I think, you know, trying to teach people or show people that, you know, being part of the community, volunteering, being involved in recreation benefits everyone. You know, you get to meet people, it's an enjoyable experience, but, you know, volunteers and stuff also are a large foundation for our programs for youth and all these different things. I think it can be a bit of a difficult one. I may need to think about it a little bit more, but I think just showing them, you know, what can be accomplished through volunteering and being part of the community through different recreational activities, whatever that may be.
Yeah, so it sounds like sort of exposing them to a little bit more to start.
Sure.
Thank you. Igor, how about you? What are your thoughts on how do we sort of shift this from being a provider of recreation to, you know, engaging people in helping lead recreation?
I would say the most important thing is to increase awareness among people and how important is actually recreation. That's one of the biggest things that comes to my mind, and also creating and providing some incentive programs.
Okay, I think Igor froze.
Can you hear?
You're cutting in and out.
Can you hear me now? I can hear you. No?
Yeah.
Okay, I said the first thing for me is to increase awareness among people how important is actually recreation. And the other thing is create and come up with some incentive programs for the volunteers. We know how much different volunteering in the South and in the North is. Although they are volunteers, I think we need to come up with some incentive programs for the volunteers in order to stimulate them. So those two things are what come up to me right now. If I want to say something, I will include my opinion later, okay?
Awesome, thank you. Okay, Olivier, how about yourself and your community? How do you think we go about sort of that mentality that as recreation people in apartments, we're going to do everything for everybody, be a provider too. We're all in this together as community recreation. Let's cooperate and collaborate and work together.
I think I probably just, I don't have any idea, but what Brent just said and Hugo, I think it's maybe the better use if we can, if I can combine those two, I may be able to bring everybody together, because like you were saying before, the problem with many of the community is that you're organizing stuff for people and you don't have anyone to run anything, because nobody gets paid. Those volunteers, most of the time, they want to get paid. And the budget do not allow us to pay anyone. We don't have money. Like we have, sometimes it's little money to run a project, and then you have to get the staff, a volunteer to help you to run it, and they don't. So in my way of thinking, I'm hoping the time I'm going to be a recreation coordinator here in Cambridge Bay, I'm going to be able to find a way to actually bring everybody, not just even those participants, like everyone that live in the community, to understand what Brent was saying before. Everyone benefits if we can come together and organize events. So that's going to be my challenge to overcome.
Yeah, and it's a big challenge, and I like the fact that you acknowledge that it's hard to find the answers, because if we had found the answers, probably would be doing it by now. So thank you. Igor, I'll come back to you. Let me just, I think Scott joined the call. Is that you, Scott?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, we're just, there's just a few of us on the call today because the Yukon Recreation Gathering is going on, and Tricky caught what we were talking about, but we're just talking about that shift from thinking about in recreation we're providers of a service, and because we need thing and we need facilities and everything, it costs a lot, and then we got to charge people for that, as compared to dispersing leadership so that we have more people take on leadership roles in recreation. And I didn't have a written question, it was just kind of random. What do you think about that? Do you think, how could we shift that? Is it important to shift? So I don't know if you want to weigh in on that, or if you just want to pass and listen to this piece and then jump in later.
Maybe I'll just think about it and then weigh in later on.
Sounds great. Thank you. And Igor, you have something else to add? Go ahead.
Can you hear me now, right? Okay, I just wanted to add that what I experienced here, that almost everyone wants excellent service, but few of them want to contribute to that. Because people are not entitled to that. They're entitled in some way, yes, but we all should work as a family and get there. Also, I think, to be honest, there is some resistance among people because they think that recreation staff is well overpaid, and why would I help you if you receive big money? That's also, I think, one of the barriers, but I'm hopeful that we can overcome that.
Thank you. Yeah, there is definitely that perception that we need to shift a little bit, I think. And people, I think, don't realize what goes into planning big activities and events and programs. And, you know, they only see the program and they don't recognize, or they only see your Halloween event and they don't recognize that it's taken you a month and a half to get to that point, right? So, you know, some sort of awareness. I think the other thought that was going through my head is, in the Yukon we have sport leadership schools, so we have, you know, streams in grade 11, well actually starting in grade 9, where they can do outdoor experiential science, they can do sport and stuff, but there's no recreation leadership. So, you know, until we value that as something that's important, I think it's going to be challenging. Thanks for your thoughts on that. That was a little sidetracked from my conversation, but that's the beauty of having fewer people on a call is we can have these conversations. So in this learning event, RL 101, Identify Your Leadership Strengths, I encourage you to think of people as a resource, the same way you would think of money or equipment or something like that. That sounds bad. I don't mean it like this. They're a resource. They're valuable, right? And trained recreation leaders are a resource because they can help deliver recreation. We have other learning events that focus on resources that leaders need to make recreation happen, resources like money, equipment, or facilities. And I think when we see people as a resource, it puts us in a position that we're able to encourage them to develop the confidence and the competence to lead in recreation. So that's why I think this idea of understanding what the competencies are in your roles as recreation leaders is important, because then you can transmit or build those competencies in other people. So as we've sort of talked about, slide 15 explains a competency. I use the words attitudes, knowledge, skills. You can expand that to include values and experiences as well. So there's a lot of different ways we develop competencies. And the core competencies for recreation are listed on slide 15. And we actually, we identified these more than 10 years ago. So what we did is there were some national competencies for recreation that were being used by the Canadian Parks and Rec Association, the Alberta Rec and Parks Association, and also by college programs. So when we designed this, we really looked at what the rest of the country was doing, and then we added one that was missing. And the one that we found missing across the country was risk management. So we actually have three learning events about risk management, because that's something that's quite a big factor in our northern and remote communities. So the model that our Recreation North training program is being designed on, there's also, you can probably see where your own experiences, your own skills and abilities fit within those competencies. You can explore them a bit more if you want a definition. Activity 4 is just to flip the cards so that you understand what the definition for each might be. But I find that, you know, I'm thinking more and more about how quickly the world has changed. So, yeah, we developed this probably 2013, 2014. That's 10 years ago now, right? And the world has changed. Some of the big things that I think have changed is we've made a commitment to reconciliation in Canada that we barely were talking about 10 years ago. Decolonization. We've come through a massive pandemic that's causing, you know, social change and economic change in our communities. Coming out of it, we're finding people don't want to work the same way that they worked before the pandemic. And people, you know, sort of the mental health and the anxiety and the stress that's gone along that are making it, you know, sort of challenging in some of our communities. And then add to that, climate change. So what NWT went through with all the fires this year, right? And what the Arctic is going through with changing in the world at a very quick pace. So in our last learning event, RF 101, we learned that recreation strengthens our communities and our people in our communities. We also know that recreation helps you heal and be healthy. It brings happiness and fosters a sense of belonging. So I kind of think that if the world's changing around us, we need to be bold. We need to be strong leaders who adapt to those changes around us. And so I'd like to hear from you how we do that. So here's my question, and I do have it written down, so let me pop it in the chat. Scott, are you in the chat in the learning event at all, or do you want me to pop it in there for you?
Sure. Just let me get in there.
Okay, I'm just going to scroll down to where my question is. Here we go. So my question to you is, if the world has changed so much since we sort of created this leadership competency model, and this is a big question, so think about it, and we'll go around and answer it. If the world's changed that much, what do you need to do to update the competencies? Like, does something need to change in our model if the world around us has changed? So, Scott, I'll just pop that in the chat for you in the learning event, too. And it looks like Olivier is there. Who dropped off the call? Igor, the call dropped for Igor. So I'm just going to open it up. Just wave up. You put up your hand or start talking. Any thoughts about this? How do we update what leaders need to be in recreation if we have these massive changes going on around us? Okay, Igor, you're unmuted, so I'm going to ask you. Oh, except I'm getting feedback, so I'm going to mute Meng. So the question, the world has changed since the recreation leadership competencies were identified 10 years ago. What do we need to do to update the competencies? And actually, Scott, would you mind if I put you on the spot first? Because you've done most, this is your last learning event, so you might be in a better sort of, have a better reflection on what we need to update. Any thoughts?
I think we need to recognize that, like, recreation is a human right, if that makes any sense. You know, I don't really see that reflected in the competencies. You know, I think a community that doesn't have recreation isn't really a community. It's just a bunch of people that live in a close geographic area. And so I think reflecting that and how we put together the recreation side of our, you know, our communities and our local governments and whoever happens to be running it, is that we need to create it so that everyone is able to take part, you know, in their own way at their own level. So it's not, you know, it's not okay for some people to be left out of spaces because, well, they're not wheelchair accessible. That's okay. You know, most people are okay getting in this space. That's not, you know, acceptable in my view anymore. So I think making things more accessible, really just, I think just reflecting that everyone needs to have access to recreation in their life.
So then if we think of that as how we grow or develop recreation leaders among our community, that's about attitudes and values, right? It's not just what's in it for me in recreation, but what's in it for my community, how do I make sure everybody participates? So that's part of sort of that, whether it's recreation foundations or recreation leadership or making positive experiences for everybody. But I think what you're hearing what I'm hearing from you is people need to really recognize and acknowledge and put out on the table that inclusive, accessible, essential, fundamental, like recreation is all of those things that kind of catch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for our mental well-being, we need to have ways to recreate. I mean, even our mining camps have recreation because they've figured out over the course of centuries that if you just have people in a place and they do nothing but work, they go crazy, you know, even if we're paying them well. So we need to be able to give them a chance to do something to practice self-care, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Bretton, I see you nodding your head, so I'm going to invite you to unmute and maybe weigh in on this question and what Scott shared as well.
I was more or less just nodding because I fully agree. Like, absolutely. I think it's a fundamental human right to essentially, you know, partake in something for enjoyment's sake and just kind of, you know, decompress from the day, get away, whatever that is. If it's, you know, having a book group, if it's playing hockey, if it's doing taekwondo, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be necessarily always structured. But I just essentially agreed with a lot of the points that Scott made there.
So how do you, Bretton, I'm going to ask you that on mute again. How do you teach people those values? Because if we want more people to lead in recreation, we want to have those same values, right? So how do you teach that or instill that?
I think that can be a difficult one. I do think just even trying to get people involved to take, you know, participate in any form of recreational activity if they haven't before, maybe, or if they're not necessarily someone that always gets involved, they can see the benefit from that. I know years ago with myself, sometimes you get into a bit of a routine where it's like, oh, I'm just going to go home after work and I'm just, you know, going to watch movies or do something or whatever it is that your normal day-to-day routine. And then you kind of put yourself out there and like, you know what, no, I'm going to join this hockey league or this basketball league or whatever it may be. And then, you know, you actually go, you participate in the activity, you meet some people like, wow, that was so much fun. I'm so glad that I actually did that and kind of put myself out there and got out of just being by myself all the time. And I think just trying to give people those experiences so they can relate and understand how important that is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks so much. Olivier, I know you're new to the field of recreation, but just because you're new doesn't mean you don't have an idea on how we kind of need to teach leadership, what the skills and knowledge and values are that are really important in the recreation field today after a lot of change in the last 10 years. Any thoughts about that?
Not much. What the other participants just saying, I fully agree with. I think if we can communicate more, so people actually, because yes, those ones that work at the recreation know how important the recreation department, but someone who doesn't work for the recreation or not interested in participating may not realize how important it is. So in my view, maybe we should just do more plus de promotion. Amener la population entière, je veux dire la communauté entière à participer. Parce que quand on participe, pas juste et trouver des événements qui n'ont pas l'air d'une corvée, où les gens ne se sentent pas, ils doivent avoir l'envie de participer. Et quand ils viennent à l'événement, ils doivent sentir comme quoi ils jouent. C'est un jeu pour eux. C'est pas un travail. Parce que le moment où on commence à se dire, c'est un travail, on n'a plus le goût de le faire. Dans notre vie de tous les jours, on travaille déjà. Les événements dans la recherche doivent être plus comme des événements où ça permet à quelqu'un de se divertir. D'oublier la routine. Si on peut arriver à créer cela, ça serait parfait. Ici chez moi, nous avions eu, we had a meeting here in Cambridge Bay not long ago with our SEO. And early today, one of the participants said, we're talking about money. And you also say, we should look ourselves as a community. And it's true because, yes, we want to have events for everyone. So someone who had a handicap, we want to make sure that he has an event. But sometimes the money not there to actually transform our facility that can also allow everybody to do activities. So maybe the government in the future, the government should put more money because it's not just enough money to even maintain our facility, let alone to do events. So
just to summarize if I can put it in a sentence or two, what you said, and I'm not sure any of the rest of you speak French or not, but and correct me if I'm wrong, but just that you need to make sure that our events and our recreation programming is available to everybody, because everybody should have access to that time to sort of relax, refresh, get together, things like that. And sometimes it's tough because of funding or whatever it is. So I think if we think of new recreation leaders and bringing people into that, they probably need to understand where we're coming from and why things are challenging. Like the fact that we don't have the budgets for facilities is, there's a reason why we've got to that point, right? But will more money for facilities fix the fact that not everybody wants to use a facility? So I think there's a lot of things tied into this. And I guess what I'm hearing from you guys is starting with the Recreation Foundation, the fact that recreation is essential, being able to speak to that and promote it to whoever's making decisions about money in your community is really important. Igor, did you want to jump in and weigh in on, you know, how the world changed in 10 years and do we need to update our competencies for leading in recreation?
Yes, if I start interrupting a little bit, just give me that time just to stop and start all over again. So I would say while Scott, Brett, and Olivia emphasize attitudes and values more, I would emphasize a little bit the part of knowledge and the skill. I think the most important thing, and I would suggest to you and to the creators of this program, to include as a competence ability to manage change. Because change management is a huge part for every person coming in this position. Change management is so crucial, and if a person is not competent with that, everything can go sideways. I believe being part for a program, being part of a Harvard Business School, I learned a lot of things about managing change. And I think that's why I'm joining this, and I think that's one of the most important things for us to know.
That's a really good point. Thank you for making that. And I'm going to go and have a look over the next year at what I can get into other learning events, because even, like, this is our sixth year of doing these learning events, and I can't believe the number of things that have changed. And that's the beauty of having a training program that is not in a university or college. I can go in and change things and revise it. But thank you very much for pointing that out. So, yeah, so, and, you know, we have to create leaders that not only are comfortable with change, but also know how to manage those changes. And there's been a lot of changes. I also, I'm an instructor trainer with the Canadian Red Cross, and a lot of their curriculum and content is changing to reflect, you know, the changes around language that we use to refer to people and gender identity and to be more inclusive, things like that. So there's so many different ways things have changed in the last 10 years, and I think that that recreation kind of brings together a little bit of everything. So thank you. So what does all of this competency stuff mean for you as a recreation leader? Well, you might have noticed that if you scroll to slide 17, you're encouraged to assess or take a look at or your own sort of strengths, right? And I really believe that we all have strengths and we need to build on our strengths, not that we need to look at what we can't do, but look at what we do and look at where there's opportunities to do something new or differently or things like that. So understanding your strengths and your passion will help you sort of set a path forward in your career. So it's good every so often to stop and look at, sort of take stock of where you're at and where do you want to move to. So to help you better understand your own leadership strengths and to help you with the required learning activity for this week, I've included what's called a self-assessment tool, and it's in the Explore More. If you scroll right down in the learning event, it's at the bottom, below week two. And so it's not, you don't have to do that and send it to me, it's just for your own personal use. But I'd like to suggest that you consider working through it. And also, if you supervise other staff or volunteers, and you're sort of looking for where should I build their skills and knowledge? Where could, what kind of training might be meaningful for this particular group of staff that I have right now? You could also consider using it with them as well. And by all means, you're welcome to download and save any of the resources I've shared in the learning event, so you can do that if you'd like, if it would help you in your work as well. So I think that sort of brings us towards wrapping up this conference call. There's a couple of slides sort of pointing out some of our leadership opportunities in the North. And apart from the Asian North Training Program, there's not a lot of formal training or education available at the moment. The Canadian Parks and Rec Association has a professional development certification, but they've been having a hard time gaining traction with that. There are some post-secondary programs, like there's an Indigenous Sport and Recreation Graduate Certificate from the University of Alberta. There's a couple of certifications and diplomas that you can get through the College of the Rockies without actually going there, so they're online. And BC Rec and Parks Association offers something called the Leisure Development Course, and they do it over 3 weeks in Vernon each summer, so that's more professional development. We used to have Aurora College and NWT used to offer a two-year rec diploma, but it shut down over 10 years ago, which is why we picked up some of the traction with Rec North. In Nunavut, Breton and Olivier, you guys would have access to training through NMTO, so the Nunavut Municipal Training Organization. But the last time I was in Nunavut, I met with them, I think it was a couple of years ago, and my understanding is that there's a list this long of municipal training options, and the FAOs vote on which are most important, and it's always something like learning to drive the water truck or fixing the roads or getting drivers. So often the recreation-related ones fall to the bottom of the list, and then there's not enough money to deliver them. So sometimes you have to look for training elsewhere. In NWT, Igor and Scott, there is, or there has been a program through the School of Community Governance at NACA, and my understanding is that some of that's transitioning. So what that change might look like, I'm not sure yet. I just had a meeting with Tim Van Dam and them a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see where things go as far as training as well. So your RLA for the week, I do have one question to wrap up our call with, but I'll just explain the RLA first. You're asked to prepare your own leadership growth plan. And because it can be fairly personal, if you prefer, you don't need to post it in a forum. You can email it to me directly if you don't want to put it in a place that other people can get it. And I'll make sure I reiterate or remind people of that in a message coming up shortly. Actually, once I get back to Whitehorse, if the roads, depending on the roads. So there's a Word or a PDF template for that leadership growth plan. Or if you have a format that you want to use, go ahead and use your own format. And again, you can post it in the forum, or you can send it to me directly, whichever you prefer. So I just wanted to wrap up with one question, and it's more of a self-reflection for you, and I don't have to weigh in if you're not totally here. And I think, Igor, you're at the bottom of my screen, so I'm going to start with you with a question first, and then we'll go up to Scott, Olivier, and Breton. And so the question for you is just, what are your thoughts about how you want to continue to grow as a leader in recreation? Just a couple of thoughts from your own perspective. And again, feel free to pass if you prefer to pass.
I would say I'm a lifelong learner, so I learn every day, and I'm grateful for that. Even I learn from children sometimes, because whatever is interesting to me, that I accept that and I learn it. And I would say that I need to work on some areas of development and participating in two programs now with recreation leadership and recreation management will give me a valuable knowledge, but I will not stop there. So I want to pursue more knowledge and more experience, And because I'm very passionate about this, and I really want to make a change in our community and all the Northwest Territories. Thanks.
That's awesome. It really helps when you've got that passion behind fueling you. So it's pretty hard to push a career forward or dreams if you don't have that passion. And I hear that in your posts and in your voice. Thank you, Igor. Scott, any thoughts? Because this is probably your last conference call with us. So any thoughts about where your path's going to take you?
I think in terms of professional growth, what I'd like to accomplish is just to become a better manager of people. You know, like my this job I'm in is focused on youth, but I think one of the great strengths that I've been able to rely on since taking the reins here is the fact that we have a phenomenal staff. So I want to develop and make sure I'm the kind of person that people want to work for a long time. I think that's one thing that hurts a lot of organizations, you know, recreation organizations included, is that they lose good people because, they're just not being managed in a way that really plays to their strengths and makes them feel valued all the time. So, you know, I want to get better in that aspect. So I can, you know, like I tell people, I can continue to keep the people that make me look good around me.
That's a good way of putting it. So I just have one more question because it might be helpful to the other people on the call. This type of learning and personal development, are you looking at just sort of developing it on the job, or have you looked at any courses or training or mentoring programs that would help you further advance your people management skills?
I'm definitely looking to find some other courses to take. You actually just like reminded me about the School of Community Government, so I'm going to pop on their site and figure out which courses I can take through there as well. It's on the job as well, and it a lot of times it just comes down to listening to feedback that we're welcoming feedback from the people that work for me, not assuming that I'm infallible and have all the answers, so just being humble and asking people what they think and how they're feeling and what can I do better to make them happier and make sure that they feel like they're valued and being fairly compensated for their time and that they want to stick around and continue with growth at this place.
What a great conversation that you can integrate into, say, a quarterly staff meeting or volunteer meeting or something, because not only are you learning for yourself, but you're also setting an example for other people to do the same for themselves. So thanks for sharing that. Olivia, over to you. Do you have any thoughts? Because I know you're pretty new in recreation and you're pretty committed to taking the Rec North training program, but do you have any other thoughts?
No, actually, I'm just going to keep learning. I have a lot to learn. Yes, I have a passion, but I need the knowledge, and that knowledge I'm only going to get it by taking courses.
You're right. Like, it's hard when you start out, right? Especially you got experience from other fields. So you probably have some of those generic sort of people skills that transfer from one field to another. And you're probably at a point where you're looking for those recreation specific ones. So thank you. Breton, how about yourself? Do you have a degree in recreation?
So I have a kinesiology degree, actually. So I kind of come from more of a fitness, strength and conditioning background a little bit. So, form of recreation I've experienced with, but in a manager role, this is definitely all new to me. There's still a lot I'm learning. But I think even, for example, like a course like this is definitely very helpful where, you can pick up on different ideas from other people in communities that are similar to yours. And I think just as I want to grow in my position, just making connections with a lot of different people, keep staying open-minded with, you know, different opportunities that might come along, taking in ideas and just trying to work with as many people as possible, and don't be afraid to fail, essentially. You know, if you want to try out a new event or anything like that, give it a shot. And, you know, if it doesn't work, then maybe you don't do it again, but you don't really know until you try type things, so.
That's great. Well, thanks. You guys really have a very positive approach to moving yourself forward, and you're all at very different points in your career, so that's really amazing. And thanks for the vote of confidence there, Igor, in your message. Fully agreed, this course is amazing. So just to wrap up, the one other place that you can get sort of that professional support, and I'll type it in here. Scott, you've probably seen me mention it before, but the CPRA, which is the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, hosts what they call the bench. I love that word, but the bench is kind of like a networking site for recreation leaders, like probably more specifically people that are doing full-time work in recreation, not maybe your youth after school leaders. There is, you can join sort of overall. They don't send a lot of stuff out, maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks. But there's actually sort of discussion rooms or chat rooms, and there is one for rural, remote, and northern, and that's the one that if I share anything, that's the one that I use, and it kind of tags the topic as rural, remote, and northern, so anybody interested in that uses it. So people do use it, like, where can I find this? How do I access this for my community? Does anybody have an example of a policy that I can use for such and such? So really helpful to join the bench too. That might give you another option. And then I think most of you are aware that we also have the Northern Recreation Network. I'm going to type it in here. It's a closed Facebook page, and it's manned by the Recreation Parks Association of the Yukon. So you will see more Yukon people, but it's open to anybody across all three territories, and it's a great place to ask questions about programs you're doing, special events, training, or how to cope with something. So one example is somebody who was a rec manager, and they usually run spring break programs at a ski hill. One March there was no snow. She said, well, I don't know what to do. What are some outdoor programs? And she got lots of ideas. So if you are not a member of that and you do use Facebook, just look up Northern Recreation Network, send me a request, and I'll approve it as well. So those are some of the resources. So to wrap up the call, I'd like to acknowledge Scott. This is Scott's last learning event, which means Scott will have earned his certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So way to go, Scott. Thanks for sticking it out through several evacuations of Hay River as well. We really appreciate it. And we're here if you ever want to come back and look at the management stuff with it fits in your schedule. Next week, there is no learning event. Next week is catch-up week because Monday is a holiday. So feel free to, if you need a little bit more time to look at Sunday's required learning activity, you can share it with me next week. Just try and get it done before we start the next learning event, which for leadership certificate will be RS-101 Recreation and Sport System, so very practically oriented to recreation and sport, and that begins on Monday, October 16th. So no conference calls next week, so you won't get any reminders from me. So thanks, everybody. That wraps up our call. I'm just going to stop the recording. And if you have any questions, just hang on and you can shout them out to me. So, Masicho, merci. Guanashish, Nakamik, Kuyanamik. That's what I learned yesterday. Trying to pronounce things, but thank you very much and all the best for the long weekend.